all alone. These women together ought to be able to turn it back and get it right side up again. And now they's asking to do it. The men better let them.
And there you have actress Kerry Washington, most recently of Scandal fame, reading Sojourner Truth from Voices of a People's History of the United States. And that Sojourner Truth speech, Anthony.
Yeah, well, that's from 1851. And it really exemplifies the spirit that Howard was trying to capture in gathering these voices. And, you know, the origin of this project was that when Howard wrote A People's History of the United States, readers came up to him and said, I hadn't heard that speech before. I hadn't read Eugene Debs in my school classroom. I hadn't come across these powerful, eloquent voices of dissent. And they began to wonder, why hadn't I learned that? Why had my history teacher not taught me these lessons? And it opens up a totally different way of thinking about history. And that's why Howard wanted to create this book, because he realized that the most powerful thing that people got out of A People's History of the United States was that connection with the voices of struggle.
And Howard Zinn, what he meant to you, Vigo, in this last few seconds?
He was a gentleman. He had a great sense of humor. He loved donuts. He would sneak away to Dunkin' Donuts behind his wife's back. But this contribution that this book makes, it's not in Howard's efforts throughout his life. He didn't look at historical references or, more importantly, democracy or progressive work as a fixed thing, as something that you accomplish, democracy. Like this show is called Democracy Now. Now is not yesterday, now is now. It's a process, it's a game that moves as you play, and I think it makes sense, perfect sense, that Anthony has included new text.
We're going to continue this after the show. Viggo Mortensen, Anthony Arnov, thanks so much.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is now 8:02, just about. Stay tuned for Positively Revolting right after this.
Join KBOO every Friday at 5:30 p.m. for Counterspin, a show that provides a critical examination of major media stories and exposes what the mainstream media missed. Counterspin exposes and highlights censored stories, sexism, racism, and homophobia in the news, the power of corporate influence, gaffes and goofs by leading TV pundits, and more. That's every Friday at 5:30 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
You can make sure KBOO Community Radio continues to inform and entertain Portland and the world for years to come by designating KBOO as a beneficiary in your will. Thank you for thinking about KBOO and the future of independent, community-supported media. For more information, contact Monica Beamer at 503-231-8032 or email monica@kboo.org.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought, tell the world how you cast your vote.
And good morning, good morning. You are listening to Positively Revolting. And you are here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. And, you know, throughout Southwest Washington, Northwest Oregon, and the world on KBOO.FM.
The world.
And I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn. Am I?
I think you are, but I think your mic might be tiny. Angle that thing. Okay, so.
How's this angle?
I think that's better.
Is it? Yeah. Can you? Okay. Kathleen,
get closer.
Can we hear it on the air?
Get closer. Okay, so here we are. This morning, it's about 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, and you certainly are listening to us. And this morning, what we are going to be talking about yet again, and this is the thing, it's like, it's a topic that just keeps coming back. Why? Because there's so much to be done in this area. We are talking about rape culture. We are talking about violence against women. We are talking about the patriarchy. And
one of the other arms of the war on women.
Indeed. There is, of course, last week we were talking about reproductive rights and the amazing disappearance of civil liberties for women who are pregnant. But this week, we want to look at the enforcement arm of the patriarchy. This is rape culture.
Are you saying that perhaps it is not about short skirts, but about power? Rape that is not about short skirts or how drunk you are, but about power?
I am. I am saying just that. I believe that rape culture is all around us. It is, in fact, the water we swim in. So often we don't recognize it.
It's an ancient enforcer of power. It's very ancient. I mean, this is a problem that has been around for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Safe to say.
And it's time to blow the lid off this puppy and get to work. You know, I don't even want to say solve it. I don't know, because certain things are getting worse to me at this particular time, but I know things get worse before they get better, darkest before the dawn, blah, blah, blah. But in the meantime, women are suffering. And men get raped also.
It's, you know, all of the above. And again, I'm going to just sort of put out there that rape culture, patriarchy really hurts everyone. It hurts men who are cut off and deprived some of their humanity, as it hurts women. Women tend to be on the, well, shall we say, more physically
receiving end, and
psychologically victimized in these wars. But it hurts everyone. So what is rape culture? What are we talking about? We are immersed in it. Rape culture tells women not to walk alone at night. Rape culture asks if a woman who has survived rape was intoxicated, or if she'd gone on a date, or if she'd had a relationship with the rapist. And heaven forfend if you'd been dating a man who then rapes you. Because, well, you should have known. You should have figured out his character early on, and no one's going to believe you. You just had some sort of buyer's regret. Uh-huh. Rape culture asks if the woman fought back. Then it judges her if she did. And then it judges her if she didn't. She didn't fight back hard enough. Oh, she fought back. Well, she probably made him angrier, and that's probably why he hurt her. There is no right answer. Rape culture tells us to teach women self-defense as a way to stop rape. Rape prevention. Learn how to defend yourself. Be armed. Take self-defense classes. It does not, however, tell men to talk with men to recognize what rape is. It does not tell us that men have a responsibility in stopping rape. Rape culture enforces patriarchy by underscoring traditional gender roles. It invokes rape as a punishment if a woman steps too far out of line, or if a man steps too far out of line. Rape culture depends on the silence of women and the complicity of men for its continuation. Men have a unique role in ending rape by making it clear to their friends, to their colleagues, and to their kin that it is never acceptable to coerce, force, or, you know, say drug a woman into sex. that's sort of where I want to start it. Many things have come to light in the last couple of weeks in terms of celebrities amongst us. And I have to say, I tend to be the biggest ostrich in the world. As soon as I start hearing celebrity gossip news, I run blocks the other direction. I don't want to know.
And you hardly ever run.
I know.
You hardly ever see you run.
It's true. And I hardly ever turn away from the news. And yet, this is how much I really deplore pop culture and celebrity gossip. It's true. That said, oh my, I have not been able to avoid, nor have I really sought to avoid after the first inundation when I realized, oh, look how absolutely relevant this is. The news of the allegations against Bill Cosby and the allegations against John Gomeshi, who is a... who was a very popular DJ in Canada.
He was a musician. I remember him on VH1 back in the olden days. And
Yeah, he's sort of all over media, Canada's golden boy. Turns out several women have accused John of, well, non-consensual sadism, basically. They are accusing him of somewhere during the course of an otherwise fine and normal-seeming date, him suddenly throwing them against the wall or down on the floor and choking them until they're nearly unconscious with closed fist punches and many other acts that the women did not consent to, did not, as one woman says, I did not invite this. And so, what are we, you know, are we looking at a couple of guys that are relying on their reputations as, you know, celebrities, as powerful men, as men who are much beloved and much lauded, you know, in the entertainment fields? Or really, are they just sort of acting like so many other guys? And looking at what that power, that control, and somehow or another equating it with what they need in terms of sex. This is where we're starting around this morning. Please do give us a call. Join in the conversation. We here at Positively Revolting would love to see an end to the patriarchy. You know, in our lifetimes, I don't know. It's a huge shift, right? This is an educational shift that really looks at power balances, that looks at gender, that looks at the falsities that have basically allowed a continuation of a system where half the population is directly oppressed and the other half is oppressed by the loss of their humanity. So I think it's probably a good system to end. And the only way we can end systems of oppression is by actually starkly talking about them, by actually discussing the effects in our lives, how they appear and manifest. And Lynn, you have a point. She has her finger in the air, no, and I concede.
I have noticed lately that as the information bubbles up, that there has been, that especially white men of privilege have been freaking out and acting out. Now, of course, neither Dr. Cosby nor John Gomeshi are white guys.
It's true.
However, they are men of privilege and power. And John, according to, I mean, people knew about him for like 20 years, from what I gather from, there was a great blog, really well written, by Nothing in Winnipeg Do You Know About Gian, by a woman named Melissa, under uncategorized. But if you just Google, or not Google, but in the search engine of your choice.
Say DuckDuckGo, for example.
DuckDuckGo, for example. Do You Know About Gian? It's a well written piece about this, but it's how he was this sort of, people knew all about him, and it was all very quiet. And finally, one woman starts to speak out. Now, what I also hear from people sometimes is like, well, how the people are coming out of the woodwork now. And it's just that it's safe. But, of course, the first woman was trivialized. What was interesting about Gian Gomeshi is he sent the BBC a tape of him brutalizing a woman saying, see, it was consensual.
The CBC.
The CBC, excuse me.
Yeah, and apparently they thought it was rather clear, in fact, that it was not.
And kudos to the CBC for telling him goodbye immediately.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So again, 503-231-8187 is the number to call should you want to join in this conversation.
We would love stories, your own personal stories of rape culture and comments this morning.
And looking at, again, how you think what you are doing to bring awareness and consciousness to this particular issue, because that's really immediately that's what it takes. You know, laws and the whole injustice system, I don't see that as helping us so much as I see the educational shift, the understanding, the dawning understanding that this isn't that rape. You know, I've heard all these apologists over the years talk about rape as a biological imperative because, you know, there's this sort of mechanism in I don't know, the male chromosome or something that encourages one to go out and sow their seed in a wide population. And that's, in fact, part of why rape exists. Hogwash and malarkey. Rape is not about procreation. Rape is not about sex. Rape is not about desire. Rape is about power.
Period.
Done.
Well, even, you know, when you see animals that have gone there, it's usually that they're crazy. You know, you get that aggressive cat or dog, and no.
I'm not going to finish that sentence.
I know.
So, but there it is, hanging in the air in front of all of us. Go ahead, finish that sentence yourself.
No.
Look at that. We have somebody who has just left us a message who is conveying through the engineering pixie that she was beaten by her husband for 10 years and told that it was her fault. And she is thankful for this program in letting women know what to watch out for and other important information about, you know, the dynamic that surrounds rape culture and violence against women. It is about power. It is about dominance. It is about control. It is about maintaining male domination.
So I saw a thing actually on an article on the CNN website about six signs. Can you imagine? Mark Lamont Hill, who's like a political commentator and professor of African American studies at Morehouse College, talked about the six warning signs of rape culture. And he said with the Dr. Cosby incident that it's all out there. The problems, he starts out with patriarchy. Can you believe that? Denial in the face of horrific evidence against Dr. Cosby. Most Americans simply elected to look the other way.
Well, he's like everyone's favorite dad.
Well, boy, okay. That speaks too many volumes, doesn't
See, and
it?
Now we can go ahead and finish that sentence. A lot of sentences hanging out there.
Blaming the victim rather than offering criticism of Cosby's alleged actions. They may have chosen to focus on the behavior of the accusers. Were they alone with him in the first place? What were they what were they wearing?
I gotta jump in there. This personal stories of our families. You know, I had an uncle, like many women had an uncle. That was always a little, shall we say, Uncle Gropey, okay? Uncle Gropey. And so after a family reunion, I went up to my mom and I said, hey, Uncle Gropey is Gropey. And, you know, I'm 12 and I'm developing in that
age.
Way.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is kind of freaking me out. What do we do? Somebody's got to go get Uncle Gropey, right? What was the answer? Go ahead, guess.
What are you doing that would make him want to?
Oh, you're close.
Okay.
But no,
were
it was
wearing.
No, because she dressed me.
All right, at 12 already.
Help me. No, it was.
This explains so much.
He's like that. Don't get alone with him. Yeah, he's done that to me and my sister. Don't get in a room alone with him. Don't say anything about it. Just right. So the last family reunion I went to would be the year later when he tried it again. And I kicked him really super hard in front of God and country there at the Grange Hall and split into the woods behind the Grange Hall until somebody came and got me and we went home. We were never asked back, nor did we really seek it out, I have to admit.
I was going to say.
But I, in fact, was told that I was an embarrassment for doing that. Heaven forfend, somebody confront Uncle Gropey. So this is another way it exists, right? What are you doing alone with them? We know that men are dangerous. What does that say? What does that say about our intimate relationships? What does that say about how we are taught to view each other growing up? What does that do to us? I mean, this is
nothing good
deep
are all those
stuff.
Answers.
Nothing good.
Well, there we have one of the other signs, trivializing sexual violence. In the past few days, footage of Cosby's old comedy routines, as we were talking about that last night, have begun to circulate around the internet. One clip worthy of extreme concern was the 1969 Spanish Fly routine, where he jokes about the erotic effects of slipping a substance into women's drinks, which apparently was more fact than fiction, and turning rapists into victims. That's an excellent one. Over the past week, Cosby has received support from an unlikely coalition of people. Black radicals have argued that Cosby is being attacked because of white supremacist antipathy toward successful black men. Many of the same liberals who ran to Ferguson, Missouri, hours after Michael Brown's death, criticizing our dysfunctional justice system and demanding immediate justice, are now preaching the virtues of patience and due process. Conservatives like Rush Limbaugh have claimed that Cosby is being punished by the liberal media for his righteous moral crusades against the black community.
Uh-huh. Go, Rush Limbaugh. You know, when Rush Limbaugh is your defender, you're in deep doo-doo.
Ground. Yeah.
Deep doo-doo. Let's go ahead and talk to Edie.
Hi, Edie.
Good morning, Edie.
Good
yeah,
morning.
We can hear you.
I want to be able to give you thanks for what you're doing. Your one comment, you're not alone, or the patterns are, could keep people from going insane, could give people the courage, give them the empathy, give them the power to say no, to do whatever they need to do, if it's to go or not. And so I want to commend you and just keep it up and show the different ways in which, I mean, if people think you're only doing domestic violence rant all the time or anti-men, they're going to tune out and not listen. But thanks for showing how things connect to different things they care about. I'd like to give a mnemonic using the hand as an example to help us remember.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so if you imagine a hand, we all know that you've got the thumb, and that could be the little poor me, suck a thumb, oh, I'm a little victim, And you've got the big, tall middle finger, to flick everyone off. You might think it's just between the middle finger and the thumb. They're doing a little dynamic with each other. But there are other fingers on the hand. There's the index finger that's pointing the finger of blame and acceptance, blaming the victim, saying this group, poor whites, blacks, people accused of drugs or whatever else, it's justified to do it against the Muslims or whatever. That pointing the finger of blame is on the same hand as the ring finger that might be wedded to the abusers and can't really kind of move on its own, separate it from it. The folks that need to have the big, tough, macho guy, the politician or whatever, so they can have their alliance to get their timber cuts or their timber protection or whatever, putting up with, that politician. There's a little pinky finger. The pinky finger in sign language you hold up is the letter I, and it sometimes kind of points the I, meaning myself, my own identity. And there'll be little folks saying, oh, what can I do? There's the helpless bystanders or the voyeurs or those that kind of get titillated by this or, watching all this stuff. When I try to go to my Yahoo account, there's all this crap that distracts, that doesn't give depth and healing, and that seems to desensitize us to injustice and immobilize us to do something about it. But these fingers are not the only things on the hand. There's also the palm. In European and in ballet, mime, when you rub the hand of the palm, you're talking about money, the greed that controls us, capitalism that's based on oppression, that holds us all together in silence and denial, in discounting, blaming the victim, saying it never happened, you deserved it, it's for your own good, you wanted it, you're not hurting. If you're hurting, it's because you're crazy. And then saying all those mixed messages at the same time. Right. So those hands, it's not just the thumb sucking, it's not just the flipping it off. It's the whole society, the whole system, capitalism and our psychology, we want to go along to get along because we don't want that to be done to us. It's got to be stopped because when we go along with it, we are hurt. We are complicit. It comes back at us, not only killing our soul, our joy and vitality, our reason for being alive, our real connections with other people, and finding our own talents and gifts. So we must rebel and stop that hand of violence in all forms that it takes. And we can counter that in every aspect of our lives, work, religion, the traffic, whatever. And I just want to thank you again for the giving me a chance to give my theory about the hand of violence.
Thank you very much, Edie, for calling in this morning.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye. It is about 27 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You are tuned to Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And you are listening to KBOO, your community radio station, where we here try to, you know, fight for social justice. It's part of our mission as a community radio station. And, well, Lynn and I often interpret this to, well, many different topics, but one that we've come back to over and over again in the last couple of years is rape culture.
Wish we didn't have to.
I would like to say that it's passé. Unfortunately, it's not. And
not anymore
that is,
than racism is. So there you
right.
Go. we are not post-rape culture.
Right. I like that bumper sticker. I will be post-feminist when we are post-patriarchy.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, you haven't seen that? That's no. Good. Anyway, so here we are. And I wanted to... oh, goodness. Where do I want to go next?
Well, have you heard about the It's On Us raising awareness to prevent sexual assault with Snapchat?
Yes.
It's aimed at the kids.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. There's a little PSA they have that's got everyone from Joe Biden to Barack Obama, who only can be accused of raping the environment. But that's another story. So how do I think it's good, but I don't know if I like It's On Us.
Who's it aimed at? The kids these days?
Mm-hmm. The It's On Us campaign kicked off its first ever National Week of Action, an effort to mobilize students to take action to prevent sexual assault. They're using social media. Good idea. This week, colleagues and universities will host more than 130 events, and over 40 schools have been created with their own It's On Us PSAs.
Well, I you know, there is something about
Northwestern, UCLA. I don't know, George Washington, MIT.
So, I mean, I think aiming anti-rape and rape education, rape awareness campaigns at college campuses is a great idea, actually, because as we have come to understand, as we come to see, rape culture is a huge part of frat life.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got a hashtag.
Everyone has a hashtag. Come on. You know, and also what we've seen in universities is woman after woman coming forward and saying she was raped or assaulted, brutalized somehow by a sports figure at that university and been told to just shut the heck up.
Shut your pie hole.
Because that guy's important. We have seen this in the case of, oh my gosh, her name has just flown out of my head. The woman who had carried a mattress around with her on her campus. I'll come up with her name in just a moment. As a protest against having to continue going to classes with the man who raped her, because the campus...
That was at Columbia?
Mm-hmm. And the administration did nothing to try to separate them or keep her safe from her alleged attacker. So,
and folks started helping her carry the mattress around. Her name is Emma I'm going to try to pronounce her name correctly. Solkowicz?
Yeah. Okay. Emma at Columbia University. Let's go ahead. And so, I mean, I think it's a really good idea to aim education campaigns at campuses.
Yeah.
Because Lord knows they dearly need it. Let's go ahead and talk to some callers. The bases are loaded.
Is it Jack?
Is it Jack? Do we have Jack on the line?
Yes, speaking.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Glad you guys were able to bring this up. It's a subject that needs to be talked about more. Ani, you are absolutely right about our rape culture. I personally was completely shocked with the military thing, with the rape culture in our military.
Which, yes.
It's kind of like needs to be really looked at, because we send these people in other countries, you know.
Well, Jack, can I ask you, just why were you shocked? I mean,
well, I wasn't shocked, but it was like, I didn't know the epidemic. It was an epidemic amongst both the women and the men, and how that is a reflection of the country when these people are sent abroad to do whatever, because they're going to bring that culture with them.
Yeah.
And they're going to show it to the whole world. And go, wow, look, we are rape culture. We rape each other, so we're not going to think twice about you.
Right. Well, Jack, isn't the military an aggressive organization where they teach people how to be aggressive and kill? And so in some ways, it seems to fit. I don't think it's good. Don't get me
wrong. Well, it does. It fits. But, you know, they put forward the honor and the respect thing and all that, and they portray this illusion to the American public.
Well, but part of the honor and respect seems to be in being the most powerful, always winning, in ways that tend to lend themselves toward rape culture, it seems to me.
Well, yeah, it does, to a degree. And I say that mainly because, you know, from a man's point of view, if there's any type of conflict or fight, it's under the guise of fairness, you know, on a level playing field. Rape is a completely different ball of wax, you know.
Sure.
Like you said, I wasn't surprised. I started doing some research into, it seems like a lot of the rape culture and a lot of the Ivy League colleges are getting away with, because there's a lot of power involved.
Oh, for
you
sure.
You know, lots of money involved.
Mm-hmm. And don't you maybe think that in the military there was a lot of resentment about women being allowed in?
No, I don't think there's resentment so far. I think the military is a reflection of our culture in general. So, I mean, we live in a rape culture. Excuse me?
Well, then there would be resentment.
Okay.
It just seems to me that there was, you know, resentment of women being allowed, say, into West Point. That a lot of folks, perhaps in the brass of the military, really didn't think women had a place there. One way to show them they didn't, of course, is to condone sexual assault against them.
Where does that connect with power, though? Which I think one of you said was directly.
Yeah, I think we
both have. And where does that connect with power?
Yeah.
Well, if you're gonna if women that are in your command, you're gonna allow them to be raped by other men, that seems like that's a pretty it's a sick statement of power, but that's what that seems like to me.
Well, you know, it's like once that came out, I said, well, I can't imagine how bad it really is, and how our culture is a little too capitulant to it, to where we need to talk about it more. I mean, this thing has been in the darkness for too long, and I think too many people are being bought off for the silence,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's doing a great disservice to women
mm-hmm.
who are having to deal with this. And I think that has to be an issue that's dealt with, because there are women in the feminist movement who really aren't serious about it, or like hypocrites, and they'll undermine the women who are serious and sincere about their movement. You know?
I would say that the feminist movement is broad and diverse, and there are women in the movement who I vehemently disagree with on many points.
Yeah.
But I think that's true for every movement, is it not?
Yes, it is. It very much is. It very much is. These are the people who basically sell out the entire movement, whether it's in its entirety as far as diversity is concerned, the movement is still going in a particular direction. So, yeah, I don't want to hold you guys up. I know you probably have a lot of callers. And thank you so much for talking about the subject. We need to talk about it.
Yeah, and you know, rape has always been a part of war. It's not just our military, though our military is actually egregious and horrific. I just want to throw it out there that kind of domination has been considered, you know, fair game in war. Rape is just a part of it. That's the spoils of war. And we can look at classical art, for example.
Oh, yeah.
And see the normalcy, see the how this is just an accepted part of what happens.
A passing thought, the rape is such an epidemic in our culture. Our culture's starting to rape the planet now. So
yeah.
I'll leave you with that.
All right. Thank you very much for your call this morning, Jack.
Bye-bye.
Let's go ahead and get to another caller. The bases continue to be loaded. People are needing to talk. And that's, in fact, as it should be, that is how we actually start addressing this stuff. We
and it
break
is talking
silence.
Besides us. So,
well, sure.
David, good morning.
Hey, greetings from San Francisco.
Oh,
hello.
Well, thank you.
Hey, you know, I'm glad this has gotten into the bigger picture than the individual of Cosby, because I'm not sure if you know about him. Before he was America's favorite dad, he was a spy in, I think it was called I Spy.
It totally was I Spy. That's where there's a story. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so
he and Robert Culp finding the Spanish flies, yeah.
Yeah, and then he became America's James Bond. And then he got into America's favorite dad. So, you know, he's gone through a bunch of different, he's not typecast by any means. But I was going to look at the big picture also in that if you look at the way the neocons are trying to get us to buy gold and to, you know, hoard everything and, you know, get guns and, you know, hold up for the great, I mean, they're begging for the apocalypse. And so the rape culture, you know, if you listen to the Klan, they need more white women, you know, they need more whites. We're going to be deluged by the, you know, by them darkies or whatever. And so the idea that they're begging, I mean, rape culture is a big part of hate radio. And it's also a big part of what you would call the a siege economy. You know, if we were to get rid of the standard economic system of, I don't know if you know it, but America's dollar is, all of the world's currencies are hypothetically based on the U.S. dollar. If you want to go from France to England, you have to exchange your money based against the U.S. dollar. And so when America's reputation gets so useless that nobody wants to deal in the American dollar, then we become, you know, just another third world nation. And the idea that then you would have these various regions fighting among, and you could have another civil war very easily when America's currency is not the preeminent.
So, David, can I dial it back and get us off currency for a minute?
Well, the reason I'm doing that is
it's a little off topic, and I understand it's a lot more than there's, you know, petrodollars, there's the that you know, the economics get back to oil and that it's mostly about multinational corporations now, really not so much governments, and we could go there, but we're focusing
well, I know, but
on
rape culture is the taking. And taking, you know,
okay,
when if there are people who have planned for decades for getting rid of the American preeminence, they want to have a siege economy. They, if you look at the Pentagon, they are expecting with global warming that there's going to be civil riots by the year 2020.
Sure.
So there are people who have known this for decades, and they've planned on it.
Okay, so,
and so the rape culture is only a part of their planning.
Actually, rape culture predates it. And
yeah,
I'm going to
go
ahead and shift now, David. Thank you very much for your call this morning. It plays into the dominance.
It's a whole nother show.
Yes, it is a big part of the whole, and it's beyond that.
And thanks for listening online. We appreciate it.
Yeah, always good.
KBOO.FM, anytime.
Why, thank you, Lynn, for that. And in fact, KBOO.FM or 90.7 or 100.3, 100.4 or 91.9. You know, all these places you can get KBOO. And right now, when you're tuning to KBOO, you're listening to Positively Revolting. We are discussing rape culture. We are discussing violence against women. We're discussing the power dynamic that actually continues the status quo. And breaking that power dynamic requires open conversation, requires bringing things that have been hidden into the light, requires daylighting is the best disinfectant.
Always. Sunlight.
So that is what we are doing here. And let's go ahead and take the next caller, shall we? Oh, I want to remind you, if you want to join in the conversation,
do dial
503-231-8032. If you would like to email us, you can do so at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. You can also like our page on Facebook. We have posted links. You can find the Cosby routine.
Be the 450th person to like us.
That's right. We would love to see people really participate in this conversation throughout the week, because once a week is not enough. It's just not.
Nope.
So let's go ahead and...
Hey, Jack.
Yeah. Well, we already talked to Jack.
Oh, I thought
try again.
David. Okay.
We're after David. Let's try Leah. Good morning, Leah. You're on the air.
I have to agree with both of the previous callers about the rape culture. Rape, it goes back to time immemorial. It came about in the Garden of Eden, probably. But it is a shift in consciousness. And, you know, what needs to happen is a shift in consciousness. It doesn't matter, you know, what else you do with it. If there's not a shift in consciousness, then we're not going to, nothing's going to change. One of the callers, one of you responded to rape is, when somebody says something about rape and war and the earth, and war is raping the earth. We are raping the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So until we get back in touch with our own mother and feel her pain and all the rape that she's experienced, we're not going to be able to deal with what's going on around us. It's not an issue of good versus bad. It's an issue of raising good people and making sure they're in touch with Mother Earth. And that's what Alexis Ziegler and all the others are talking about. We need a culture shift, a consciousness shift. That's what we're going to have to deal with. That's the only way the vampire is going to be defeated, is you got to shine the light. Right, shine the light. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that call.
Shall we go on, since we are getting to the last
show? Yes, absolutely.
Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Yes.
Thanks for
calling.
Hello.
Yeah. Now, you may think this is silly. I don't know, you know, but it's just something that I've been thinking about lately. And as a vegan, I'm always concerned about the abuse of animals and this sort of thing. And I was wondering about the tie-in with a power control money thing with the way animals are treated and raised in this country. And if you look at what those people who do that focus on,
mm-hmm.
it's body parts. It's the, excuse the term, the tits of the cows, the vaginas. They even have something called a rape rack that they mount the cow on to artificially inseminate it. It seems that these people have always been trying to control the reproduction, the female function of these animals.
Yeah.
And that's deeply in our culture. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about that.
You know, I've heard the comparisons. I have friends who have discussed this with me. I think it's an interesting line of conversation. It's not, however, what we're really focused on this morning. I think that, you know, when we live in a culture of domination, and when we live in a culture that is so disconnected, where we are so alienated from our own thoughts and emotions, when we are able to do completely inhumane things to one another, where we are able to disregard the humanity and life of another person, biped, you know, Homo sapien, then of course we are disconnected from the rest of the creation around us. And I think it probably is all of a piece, and it's not what I'm focused on this morning. But I do thank you for your call.
Okay.
But
thank you,
yeah,
Thomas.
Very good. Thank you.
Though it is true, it's hard not to have it expand because have the rape culture is so pervasive, and not just in the West, in human culture in general. Perhaps not. Hey,
things ding.
Ani learns to use the magic phone.
Well, you know, so I just want you to know I'm being technologically challenged because my laptop crashed like 10 minutes ago. I've lost my notes. I just, you know, I've been flying by the seat of my pants. But see, I was faking it really nicely right up until I made my phone beep because I'm not used to trying to use it for that sort of thing.
Well, while you try to do a technological thing or two, I will tell you what's coming up on KBOO this morning. At 9 on Veterans Voice, Angie and Marv honor the late Bill Byers, co-founder of the show, Mr. Bill, as Marv always called him, by airing an interview with him recorded last year. At 10 on Air Cascadia, Chris Andre speaks with Allison Weir about her new book, Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, reaction to Obama's executive actions on the immigration front from leading Latino political activists and more. At 11 o'clock on We Hear Author, on 11 o'clock, We Hear Author and Activist, the lovely Dr. Helen Caldicott on The Ukraine Crisis, Is Nuclear Conflict Likely? She is also joined by Stephen Cohen, contributing editor to The Nation magazine. And once again, we want to thank KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a member today, you can remedy that by going to KBOO.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Easy peasy thing to do.
Indeedly.
And also, folks, if you want to get in at the very end of the show here, 503-231. Oh, God, I forgot the last three numbers.
8187.
8187.
Well, wasn't it interesting when you have your, you know,
my thing right in front of me?
Everything just goes. Everything, you know, every now and again.
231-8187. You can also comment at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. You can go to our Facebook page. Please like us on our Facebook page. Be the 450th person, I'm telling you. I haven't looked again to see if we have more to like us. And check out articles. We do Positive Revolting all week on the Book of Faith. And also follow us on Twitter at Positive Revolt. You have all those things that you can do this morning. But meanwhile, we're back on rape culture.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And let's go ahead and actually, if I can have a moment of computer cooperation. There's a couple of articles that I just really want to mention quickly. 25 Everyday Examples of Rape Culture. This is put out by EverydayFeminism.com. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Chances are, and I'll just read some excerpts. Chances are, as feminists and other liberal-minded people, most of you have heard the phrase rape culture. But how many actually think about what it looks like? Well, we had the examples I gave earlier in the show. But I want to go ahead and mention what this article from Everyday Feminism presents as 25 examples from our life around us now. Number one, a university in Canada that allows, this is what rape culture looks like, a university in Canada that allows the following student orientation chant: Y is for your sister, O is for oh so tight, U is for underage, N is for no consent, G is for grab that.
My eyes are as big as saucers.
I know, I'm looking at them. Pop music that tells women you know you want it because of these blurred lines. Okay, thank you, Robin Thicke. A judge, number three, who sentenced a man to only 30 days in jail. He was a 50-year-old man who raped a 14-year-old girl who was found guilty, right? It's not that alleged thing, right? It's 14-year-old girl raped by a 50-year-old man. 50-year-old man gets 50 days in jail. The girl commits suicide. And it was defended, right? The judge who sentenced that guy to 30 days defended his decision by saying the girl was older than her chronological age. The hell does that mean? Okay, mothers who blame girls for posting sexy selfies and leading their sons into sin instead of talking with their sons about their responsibility for sexual expression. There are photo memes that I, you know, can't, I'm not even going to describe. Supporting athletes who are charged with rape and calling their victims career destroyers. That's another sign. Say number seven, companies that create decals of women bound and gagged in order to promote their business. Check out the link. It'll be posted to our Facebook site as soon as my computer cooperates. And you can check these links out for yourself and see the companies and the memes.
What was that link again?
It is everydayfeminism.com. Okay. And you can just search. Well, it's okay. Well, we'll put it on in just a second. The direct link for the article. Anyway, I'm going to skip through many because, in fact, we're running out of time. But I want to say number 14, rape jokes and people who defend them. No one likes to interrupt humor, right? Because we know immediately we will be attacked. Oh my God, we're the PC police. Oh my God, we're so sensitive. Oh my God, we're really, you know, hey, Captain, bring down. We were just having some fun. Don't get all serious. Feminists have no sense of humor. Oh my God. Interrupt it. It is, in fact, an act of intimidation. It is not funny. Number 17, Reddit threads with titles like, "You just have to make sure she's dead." And then in that title, you can link to the story of a 13-year-old girl in Pakistan who was raped and buried alive. All right. It goes on. It goes on for quite some time. It goes on for 25 of these examples. 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men have reported experiencing rape. That would be number 24, signs that we live in a rape culture. Only 3% of rapists ever serve a single day in jail. And again, it just goes on. Yes, Lynn?
Let's get one more caller. Karen is on the line.
Let's. Good morning, Karen.
Karen.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing okay.
We're fine. How are you?
Great. I was just curious, and this might be a little bit of an extreme measure, but I was pretty unaware of the rapes taking place in the military before, you know, some articles surfaced in the last couple of years of some women coming forward. And I know in some other cultures that have dominant rape cases, I think in sub-Saharan Africa, one gynecologist did invent, you know, this device that women insert.
Yeah, the anti-rape condom.
Right, the anti-rape condom. I mean, if it's really so bad in the military, you know, would this be the solution. I don't think it's the solution either, and I fear that some women could abuse that as well.
How?
That would be pretty. Anyway, let's go on. Go ahead.
I don't think we really have
to worry about that part.
Right.
Personally.
I mean, unfortunately, we are a culture that sometimes does react to threats, and even just hearing the threat of that. Of that being a possibility if it continues, to see maybe if the statistics would change at all, and explaining what it is to the men and that commit these rapes, and, you know, see if there's any sort of change in the you know, population that's suffering through these, you know, cases. I know it's a really extreme measure, but I just feel like, you know, this is something that...
Oh, I mean, I don't think it's extreme. I just don't think it's the solution. But, you know, the thought of jaws of death sort of tickles me. But, yeah, I would, you know, just defending ourselves is not the solution. It's more systemic than that to me. But thank you for it. That's a, it's an interesting idea, and I hadn't heard about that. Thank you, Karen.
Like I said, it's a little extreme, and I think there's a lot more conversation.
It's an extreme issue. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, if things didn't get better, I don't know. I feel bad for these women that go to, you know, help in combat and then suffer, you know, pain and whatnot themselves.
Oh yeah. But, oh, absolutely. Anyway.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this issue up. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm going to close out here with another article. It's from CNN Opinion. And again, we will also post this to our Facebook page.
Another CNN?
Whoa. I don't think we've talked about CNN yet.
Yeah, we have, because I was talking about the six signs of, that was a CNN article.
Oh yeah, you're right, actually.
And I put it up, I believe, on the Facebook page.
Perhaps you already have then. We'll check. Anyways. Look at the, and it doesn't matter because we are pretty much out of time. For the wrap up, allow me to say, please do contact us. We really, there are more shows to be done in this topic. Unfortunately, I would like to think that, you know, by the new year, it'll all, you know, we'll fix this thing.
Yeah, thousands of years will be fixed. Okay.
But it's probably not going to happen. So please do contact us. Keep those cards and letters coming. And it's a topic that we will be discussing again and again.
However, next week really is Buy Nothing Friday.
That's right. Buy Nothing Day next Friday. Mm-hmm. Let us look at
one of our favorite shows.
Our economic issues and how to reclaim our power through not shopping. It's a fabulous thing. And until then,
stay positive, revolting. Really, really, really.
As we do.
Thanks for tuning in.
What would you have instead?
No, this is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought, tell the world how you cast your vote.
I'm Dime Roberts. In 1989, I took a trip to Taiwan with my mother and produced a radio documentary about our relationship. It's called Mei Mei, A Daughter's Song.
Well, I know our Buddha take me to heaven. I didn't want to come by. She told me, it's not my time yet. If my time come, that's my home.
May May, a Daughter Song won the Peabody and was played all over the world. For the 25th anniversary, I've turned this personal radio production into a film. Join me November 21st at 8 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater for the first ever screening of May May, a Daughter Song. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the KBOO homepage under Community Events.
If you are interested in country western music, tune in Saturday mornings from 6 to 9 a.m. for Swingin' Country on KBOO 90.7 in Portland, Oregon. That's Swingin' Country, 6 to 9 a.m. every Saturday morning.
Good morning. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. We have a good morning to bring you programming coming right.